Yes, it is. Welcome back to the show. Kevin Carries with you on a beautiful Monday morning, getting ready for the Oilers and the LA Kings tonight. Game number one at Rogers Place. The Oilers have called up Ryan Fanti to be their emergency backup goaltender. The E-Bug, if you will. You can think of worse things to do during the playoffs, Duke. It's sitting around up in the press box.
Yeah, geez, I'd say so.
And
I've actually thought about applying for this job myself over the past number of years.
The thing, and you know, you're going to face like about a million shots in practice. It's great.
Yeah, great reps.
Just great.
Great reps.
Yeah, it's great. Let's welcome in Lorianne Munzer to the program, and we will elevate your game, brought to you by Ram Elevators and Lifts. Unlock the potential of your place with a home elevator or lift. Learn more at trustram.com. Good morning, Lorianne. How was your weekend?
Good morning, Kevin. It was awesome. Uh-huh. I was spending last week in Canmore, so riding my bike, getting ready to get the skis out and wax. We had all kinds of weather, and it was just beautiful.
Please tell me you didn't ride your bike yesterday in that wind.
I was up really early yesterday morning, so I headed down Ellerslie Road, and it's one of my favorite roads, not too busy, and headed to the end of the road, turned around and realized just what direction the wind was heading in, so I had a little bit of a, as you would call it, a grind coming back, but it was actually fun. It was just a beautiful morning.
Have you ever, like, just think if you had I don't know, like one of those parasails on your back and you were, I don't know, somewhere near the river valley and decided to take off, you might go for a while.
Well, you know what? It's a really good thing my feet are strapped and clipped into my bicycles, because then I know for sure my bicycle would come with me if I got lifted up and did go parasailing. I mean, that would be just crazy. You'd have to come pick me up in Lloydminster, I think. Either that or Hinton, all depending on which way the wind was blowing.
Yeah, maybe Hinton. Yeah, I don't know which way it was going yesterday, but I golfed yesterday, Lorianne, and on one hole it was right with the wind, and the drive went quite well, and then the next hole it was at the Ranch Golf and Country Club, and the next hole was into the wind, and it went about half the distance, so... That's just normal for me. So, Lorianne, how excited are you for game number one tonight between the Kings and the Oilers at Rogers Place?
I can't wait. Yeah. I am so excited to see what is going to come down the pipe, literally. Mm-hmm. Excited to see what the boys put together, how well they play, and how well I'm thinking of the word we, because when you work collectively together, just the outcome and the results that you can have when you work together as a team, and that's the we part, is the sky's literally the limit. However, I will say it's one game at a time.
Yeah. We were texting yesterday, and you know, we always ask or talk or whatever, you say this, I say that, about what we're going to, you know, touch on the next day. And I wanted to get your thoughts on the grind that is a 2-month playoff scenario. And for these guys, you know, at the end of it, you see at the end of a playoff Stanley Cup final, there's nothing left. These guys are totally done. But what are your thoughts on right now at the very start? Everyone's excited, optimistic. It's like a, you know, the refresh, it's a brand new season. So just your thoughts as a mindset coach going into the playoffs here.
Well, I think there's a couple things to look at. One, it can be long, which is you're talking about the 2 months. And looking at it right in the here and now today is to break it into smaller chunks. So really, it would be just about focusing on what is the task at hand today. Like the one thing I was noticing, all the games are 8 o'clock starts, 8:30 starts.
Yeah.
So this is not the time to try something new. This is something I tell all of the athletes that I work with, is you stick to the rituals, you stick to the routine that you know works, right? So I don't know, maybe this is a bonding time for the team. You know, are they eating breakfast, lunch, dinner? What is their routine? There's going to be certain things that they're going to be doing, you know, video replays. But really, is the only thing you can control is the small segments of today. So how are you starting your day? That for me is always the most important thing that I stress with the athletes that I work with. Then as you come together as a team, what are the team dynamics? And then how can you bring the leadership up to a new level of how can you support the other players? How can you share maybe different things that have worked for you and just really that communication is really key. But it's just like right here and now. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't even look at the social media. What can you do right here, right now to get your head in the game and to keep it in the game just today?
Mm-hmm. Lorianne Munzer with us on Sports 1440. So you mentioned the late starts. And I mean, the Oilers have done this, you know, all season long where they've, you know, puck drop at 8:07 or 8:20 or whatever the case may be. Again, 8:24 tonight and Wednesday, probably closer to 8:45 our time. So 7:45, 7:50 LA time on games 3 and 4. How do you pull back the reins and not, because a lot of players say they love playing the afternoon games because you don't think about it all day. You strap it on, you go, there's no morning skate, you're ready to go, and you don't have to worry about that thought process all day long, the waiting and waiting. How does an athlete pull back the reins to be ready to jump out of the starter's box when you have a late game time?
That's a perfect example. And that was something that I was challenged with when I was at the Olympics in Athens, is you have to set up a schedule that works for you of where are you not expending too much energy. And that's where I think when you talked about it before is the, what did you call it? The mind grind or the mental grind. Is the problem is when you start thinking and analyzing and overanalyzing what's coming up, you are blowing so much of your energy. You are wasting it, but it is so real. And usually what happens is that the underlying thing is fear, right? Oh, what if we don't do this? What if we don't do that? Are we going to lose the game? Do we want to win the game? So you need to be in control and in charge of what is it that we're actually doing. So I was always finding it helpful. And again, when I'm working with my athletes, is script it out. How do you want to spend the day? Where do you want to be spending the day? Are you booking in naps? Do they have maybe a midday skate or, you know, a late morning skate? Where are they spending the time? And I can tell you, you know, Coach Chris, he's got a schedule right now, but he's also working with the individual athletes because some athletes work better in the morning, some work better in the afternoon, some work better in the evening. So what one of the focuses I see is, okay, the game, you can't change it, 8 o'clock, 8:30. So what are we going to be doing as a team? And then what do you need to do? Mm-hmm. Part of the training, Kevin, is distraction therapy. I don't know, maybe go shopping. Well, maybe not go shopping in Edmonton, but, you know.
Come to the mall. We'll take you on a tour.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, what is something that you can do that is literally going to occupy your mind, but not take you on the extreme of like, oh my gosh, I have to focus this. I have to focus this, where you expend too much energy, but also where it's fun. You know, it could be, okay, hey, we're doing some movies. We're watching some documentaries. Or I know some of the athletes, when I was racing, they actually brought out their study material and they just went into their schoolwork, what they were working towards. And for everybody, it's going to be a little bit different. And that's where you take what you have done in the past that works and you do it. You just follow it through. So it's not trying new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Lorianne Munzer with us on Sports 1440. I think you would agree that the goaltender on any team has to have the strongest mindset, the strongest short-term memory. That's just the way the position is. So moving forward with Stuart Skinner, last year in the playoffs, he played 12 games in the playoffs, had a record of 5-6. His goals against average was 3.68, too high. Save percentage, .883, too low. We all know that. He started this season poorly, but has been phenomenal. He's been one of the best goaltenders that we've seen in the NHL this year. How much does he look at last year and moving forward to this year in the playoffs and say, I need to change this, do this, think differently? What's his mindset going into the playoffs?
I would agree. Goaltending is probably one of the highest mindset because you've got to keep it. But then again, like you said, short-term memory, right? If a bad, if you get scored on, you got to reset the mind the quickest. So that part is there. I don't think Skinner is going to be thinking about now at this time what happened last year. He would have already have worked through it earlier in the season when things weren't going right and going, what do I need to do to right the ship, right? To right the results. And he has to be thinking about all the ways that he can be successful, to be able to stop the shots, to anticipate what's coming. And literally, if a goal goes in, Kevin, mm-hmm. he's got to clear, you know, the mechanism and just literally go reset. Okay, puck gets dropped again. We got to go into it with what can I be doing versus thinking about, oh, this happened. Because if you keep thinking about what has gone on, guess what? You're going to bring it back again. And that's not the results that he wants. He knows what works. He knows what doesn't work. And if that happens, okay, clear the mechanism, mm-hmm. write it. I don't know if it's an affirmation. I don't know if it's a mantra or a saying, or if it's a look, maybe a connection with, you know, somebody on the coaching staff, because sometimes there is something that you will pick up that you just go, okay, it's that anchor that I need to do my reset to go, okay, yep, new play, new game, here we go.
Mm-hmm. Lorianne Munzer with us on Sports 1440. Now, what about the coach? And actually, we could say both coaches, because neither coach has coached in the playoffs before at the NHL level. What's going through their heads as they move into tonight's first time that they've ever been a part of the Stanley Cup playoffs and their first game in this kind of atmosphere?
I think the label that we're putting on right now, playoffs, is one that can either blow your mind or work for you. And if I was a coach, it's another game. Mm-hmm. So preparing for tonight's game should be no different than any other game leading up to it. But for some athletes, it is. And I would really focus on what are all the things that work? What are the things at this day that need to be focused on, because mm-hmm. Kevin, at this level, everybody is physically pretty much the same. There may be 1%, 2% different, but it's the mental aspect that is going to determine who moves on to the next round. Mm-hmm. And mentally is where everything's going to have to come together. So I would be looking at, from a coaching perspective, what do you need to do to be mentally, oh my gosh, kryptonite strong. Forget yeah. about just strong. It's got to be kryptonite strong. And if a goal happens that was not good, it was crappy, whatever, is you have to go and you have to do that reset really quick. So how great can each of the players become tonight to do the reset, to be in the moment and be totally focused on their shift?
Lorianne Munzer, one more with you regarding Corey Perry. A veteran guy, veteran player. 196 career playoff games. That's 22nd all time. So you're almost playing, well over two seasons more in the NHL. How much will a veteran like that help a younger guy like a Dylan Holloway, who is going to be seeing the bullets really flying for the first time?
I think Corey Perry is probably a great anchor because he's had so many games. He's got so much experience that the younger players should be tapping into, you know, like Dylan, right? Is just, what do you do to calm your mind down? What's worked for him? Because sometimes just hearing a strategy of something that works for somebody who's 196 playoff games, holy cow, that's a lot. So what does Corey do to elevate his game so that he's always on that energy of riding, of going, hey, this is possible. This is what we do. The other thing is, if you're in a situation, the game that we always used to play was the counter attack game and then the counter attack game. So if there is maybe a shot that happens that doesn't go well, how are you going to counter it? Can you visualize it? Can you see it? Because literally, Kevin, if you can see it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand, you're going to be able to see the result show up mm-hmm. right on the ice. And Corey is, oh my gosh, he's seen so many things. He could write a playbook on all the possible things. And then I'm sure the new guys are going to be able to write other things that maybe he hasn't been experienced or maybe a different perspective and a different twist. And I think the two can really complement each other, but it takes communicating it. It takes talking it out and going, okay, what would you do in this scenario? And then how would you counter it and then double counter it again?
Lorianne, always appreciate your insight. Are you going to have a little nap today before the big game tonight?
I think I will. I mean, this is getting past my bedtime. I'm going to have to stay up late. Of course, I'm going to be like glued to the TV to see what's going on.
This is a week that, I mean, we're going to have, when you look at it, Monday, Wednesday, and then Friday. When you have a puck drop on Friday at, let's call it 8:50 our time, you should be in the bars that night, Lorianne. I mean, that could be a new thing for you to check it out. Some watch party, maybe.
Well, I remember a few years ago when Oilers were on a winning streak, I did go out and it was, oh my God, the energy was amazing. And I think just being in the moments here, carrying that energy is going to be phenomenal. It's going to be so amazing for the city.
No kidding. Good stuff. Thanks, Lorianne. We'll chat with you next Monday and you'll be on with Greg's on this Friday. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Take care.
That's Lorianne Munzer, 2004, 20-odd-4 Olympic gold medalist in cycling in Athens, Greece, and our Elevate Your Game segment brought to you by Ram Elevators and Lifts, manufacturing the safest elevators since 1987. TrustRam.com. Once again, doors open tonight at 6:30 at Rogers Place. Puck drop probably around 8:20. And if you can't make it inside, it's tough to get inside, obviously. They've got the two tailgate parties outside in Ice District, Scotia Bank Fan Park, and then the Ford tailgate in Ice District. So those will be heating up with food and beverages. They got the DJs, prizes. Oilers alumni are always there before the game for autographs. Chuck Huddy will be at the Ford tailgate party in Ice District from 6:30 to 7:30 tonight. Molson Hockey House is open about 2 hours before puck drop. And the watch party for games 3 and 4, tickets go on sale for that. They're only $5 each. Proceeds from those road games will go to the Edmonton Oilers Community Foundation to support local charities across oil country. And, of course, the 50-50 raffle. What do you think the 50-50 is going to be, Duke? Yeah, I think it just goes for games 1 and 2, if I'm not mistaken. It could be, I might be wrong on that. But anyway, the jackpot is already over 900 grand.
Well, I was just going to say the
The fact
the take home, the notion or the idea that the take home will touch seven figures is probably more likely than not.
And it is after two games and it goes for the support of Kids with Cancer and the Ben Stelter Foundation and the Alberta Cancer Foundation. So after game two, they'll split it up. So, I mean, it's going to double that probably. Do you think it gets to 2 million?
Yeah, take home 1 million. Sounds pretty good to me. Yeah. And that's the best part, because you don't have to be there to buy tickets anymore.
Game.
You can buy them from your couch when you're watching on TV.
You know what's fun? So you watch a Blue Jays game, and they'll have the 50-50, and it's like, I don't know, 60 grand, 50
and
grand.
And there's the same thing. Like, you just have to live in Ontario to buy those tickets, and let alone the people at the park, which is, in theory, almost three times the capacity of Rogers Center, if I'm not mistaken. Rogers Center over Rogers Place.
We'll touch a little bit more. A lot of texts coming in regarding the situation with Evander Kane. Mm-hmm. We'll touch on that when we come back after the break. The Duke and I on Sports 1440. Stay with us. All right. Here we go. Sports 1440, 10:24. A couple more segments left before a guy heads down to the rink and checks out the Kings morning skate. We'll see what shakes down there. Oilers are, not many guys are skating, but they're supposed to go on the ice. Media Vale starts in about 6 minutes with guys that aren't skating. And then some of the guys that will be skating will be hitting the ice. They're probably just getting on right now before the Kings take the morning skate. So a lot of people wondering about Evander Kane and his situation. Penny text in, why would Kane publicly disclose an injury? What was his end game? Attention. Ontario Moms has been very texty here about Evander Kane, saying he had a sports hernia all year. This is such an important year for the Oilers. They chose not to LTIR him and get a player at that point. So that would have had to have happened months ago for him to be LTIR'd. And he believes Kane has had a sports hernia all year. And now the chatter is why he didn't get surgery and Holland didn't use the LTIR as per a Mark Stone. Evander Kane played all the way up till April the 13th. He played 77 games. And I'm not totally disagreeing with Ontario Holmes and his take here. I mean, Evander Kane played 77 games. The games that he missed were down the stretch. Again, his last game, April 13th, against Vancouver. Dylan Holloway gets called up after that and runs out the stretch. This is a deeper dive, and we're going to find out exactly a lot more where and how and what the Oilers could have done differently here. This is going to be a question posed for management. Could something have happened earlier in the year? Could he have gone on LTIR? Could he have had surgery? Was it that serious? It is an interesting dynamic. There are a lot of facets probably here that a lot of people don't know about. But again, Ontario Holmes is, he said it's also Super Audie came out before the playoffs and said that about his injury. Also says he hopes that Dylan Holloway has a coming out party. Duke, I mean, this yesterday was weird with Evander Kane saying exactly what it is. For the most part, you never disclose injuries. Has this been going on for the entire year? Has it been a minor injury? He got hot. He got in that scrap, goes on a roll, goes in another scrap, gets on a roll. He's had, 21 games without a goal? It's an interesting scenario and something that will be talked about more. Does he come in today and tonight on the fourth line? Is he ready? How much can he contribute? These are things that we'll find out more tomorrow. A lot of texts coming in. Would you say it's a contentious issue with Oiler fans, Duke?
It does. Like the texts we have got seem to all be in the same vein as what you just went over from Ontario Holmes. That if this injury has been prolonged and it does in fact extend back to early March, then there is some frustration, I guess, from the Oilers fans that. Like at that point, the Oilers knew they were in a playoff spot pretty comfortably. Mm,
so you
and
could
to say to LTIR, and of course, it's been very well documented the chagrin of Oilers fans about Vegas utilizing LTIR space mm-hmm. and putting Mark Stone on there, and then William Carrier to bring in the likes of Thomas Hertl, Noah Hanifin down the stretch. Now it looks like. Good chance both or all three of those players back in the lineup for game one tonight. But I think it's a more complicated issue because this wasn't an injury that de facto takes you out of the lineup. And it is, you know, kind of a nagging thing. Mm-hmm. I get the frustration by the fans for sure.
Yeah.
But we don't have all the facts, I don't think, at this point to say definitively they should have done this or they should have done that. But like, I'm just so unfamiliar with the situation in regards to, you know, the severity of the injury and exactly what it fully mm-hmm. entails. I'm excited to hear Gregor's show this afternoon with Fedoric and kind of hear what he makes of it, because I've never had a hernia, sports or otherwise. There was a funny text earlier about a sports hernia versus
entertainment
or a news hernia.
Yeah, the news ones are tough.
Which was a great text. So I just don't know. Like, there are other injuries where, yeah, like, I've had them. I'm not a pro athlete, but we all go through these things. I've torn my ACL twice. Those high ankle sprain, things like this. This is something I really have no clue about. I can't speak to it because I've never went through it. I don't know how painful it is. Can you play through it? How much does it inhibit you?
Rob says, text in, could Kane be pulling one on the media and others?
Wouldn't that be something?
Gamesmanship in the playoffs. Never heard of it. Playbook Vic says, let's just see how Kane plays in the playoffs. I'm glad that Playbook Vic did text in today because his prior text was, a great week three matchup, KK, because we hooked up with Playbook Vic in the Fantasy Frenzy baseball draft, and it was a 10-0 shellacking. 10-0 shellacking. Playbook Vic licking his wounds. and Ontario Moments is talking about Mark Stone again. Is Mark Stone 100% playing tonight?
I don't think it's been 100%, but he was cleared for full full contact at practice over the weekend, if I'm not mistaken, making his status for game one increase pretty exponentially, I would think.
Perplexed Oiler fan says the Oilers need Kane rolling. The Hammer says Dubois is on the fourth line for a reason. I'll tell you what, it's great news, great moving forward. It's outstanding for the Oilers if Pierre-Luc Dubois plays like he did during the regular season. If he ups his game at all, it's bad news, really bad news, because this is a guy, when he is banging, he has the hands, he has the shot, he can move well enough, he's quick, and he can get to the forecheck, he's strong on the puck. They don't need to wake this guy up. Stay where you are, PLD. Rob Brown told Rob, saying that sports hernia can only be fixed by operating, according to Rob Brown. He had one. Brownie's had a lot of things. many things for Rob Brown. Hey, how about this one from the Big Easy? I'm a diehard Avs fan, and I'm glad. I'm already bald, or else I would have pulled out all my hair last night. Yeah, 13 goals will do that to you. The Jets were 6-4, 3 against a 5-5. And again, Adam Lowry with a couple of goals. For the most part, you could say he held Nathan MacKinnon in check. But 13 goals. If we see that again in another game this series, I will be shocked, stunned, absolutely stunned. Talk about William Nylander possibly playing tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Wouldn't that be something if he doesn't play again? There are 4 games in the NHL playoffs tonight. Maple Leafs in Boston for game 2. Bruins blew out the Leafs in game number 1. It's the Islanders and Hurricanes. The Canes took down the Isles in game number 1 in that series. And, of course, the Golden Knights and Stars kick off that series in Big D. And the Oilers and the Kings, game 1 of those respective series. So, 4 games tonight, 4 games Tuesday. We're in that process now where there are at least 3 games per night. So started things off on Saturday with a couple of games. Well, hey, 2 games on Thursday, just seeing that. So that's an extra day off between games for a few teams when they travel, I guess. Text coming in, 1-833-401-1440. Here's one. How about this one? Derek and Camero says, maybe Kane actually has some pride and didn't want to play dead like Stone. Hey, here's one for you, Duke. And I was driving home, and I'm listening to the Colorado Avalanche home play-by-play man. So Connor McGehee does TV. I'm not sure who the play-by-play guy is on radio. I know, but I'm not sure. Anyway, Mark Scheifele. And I didn't see the play. So maybe he embellished a call. I'm not sure if you saw it either. And this guy was just giving it to Scheifele. And he said, you know, you talk about Homer radio. Like, this was at its very best. He said something to the effect, someone should tell Mark Stone that the Oscars were in January.
Oh.
So that was the first one. Then the second one. Mark Scheifele, the Oscars were in January. Then the next one, the really good one was, Mark Scheifele has mysteriously and miraculously appeared for the playoffs here on the power play. Just a miraculous event. And then there was one more, and it was just phenomenal how he was just giving it to Scheifele.
It's funny, Zach, because on my drive back from Red Deer, I was listening to the Winnipeg Jets radio broadcast for the drive. And funnily enough, not quite the same.
Yeah.
I don't know, sentiment was expressed over their airwaves on those same plays.
The other time he said, and here's Scheifele back from the dead going through the neutral zone. I'm like, these guys were just giving it to him. Oh, man. Outstanding. Rob even says, Dubois did not up his game with the Jets last year. Doubt it'll be any different this series. That's what Oiler fans should hope for. The Jets version in the playoffs of 2023 of PLD. Because if he gets going, you don't want that. When we come back, interesting interview coming up with Lane Brown. He's driving around. So I guess some of his employees in, you've probably seen it. It's an 18 wheeler. Well, not an 18 wheeler, but it's a big rig. It's a semi rig with Oilers painted in Oilers colors, bright orange and blue. They've got La Bamba playing on all the speakers on the back. It's been driving around town. It'll be at the game again tonight. Lane Brown will be with us right after the break as Oiler fans are getting ready for a big tilt. It's going to be wild in Ice District. Stay with us on Sports 1440. That's a great song, Duke, for our next guest. Can't beat that. Alabama, roll on. Just want to let our listeners know, too, that former Oiler Charlie Huddy will guest with us tomorrow at 10 o'clock with Grant Fear. Charlie only played 183 playoff games in his NHL career, just over 1,000, well, 1,017 in his great NHL career. So Charlie Huddy will be with us tomorrow at 10 o'clock with our co-host every Tuesday, which is Grant Fuhr. Let's welcome in Lane Brown to Sports 1440. Good morning, Lane. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, Lane, I talked to you on Friday, and when I was going to the game on last week, was the final regular season game. I bumped into, I believe his name is Al, and he's driving the big Oiler rig around, and he was parking it just on the north side. And I said, I got to go talk to this guy. And I said, I got to get him on the program. He says, oh, no, get my boss, Lane Brown, on. So, Lane, tell us about this big Oilers rig that's been driving around town, drumming up interest for the Oilers as they start their playoff run.
Yeah, actually, it was last March we were putting in an order for some trucks, and trucks are hard to get these days. So we put in an order, and I wanted an Oilers truck. It's something I've always wanted. So when I asked my business partner if he was good with it, he's like, yeah, let's give it a try. We're not going to switch the whole fleet, but let's throw one in the mix. And it showed up a year later, and it actually looked a lot better than I even thought it was going to look. So we logoed it up, and my plan was to get it down to Roger's place to get a picture or two just for our own personal for our company, and it ended up blowing up. Everyone came running to it and wanting pictures with it, and so we decided that, hey, let's bring it down a couple more times before we send it to work. And it's kind of just been a thing we've done, and I'm going to bring it down again tonight for the playoff first game, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, I when I talked to you on the phone, we'll see where it goes. Well, you have a hard decision to make because you said, you know, this thing's got to get out there and make some money, but it's creating a lot of interest too, isn't it?
It is, for sure. But like I said, the trucks aren't cheap these days, and having it as a lawn ornament, it needs to go out to work, that's for sure. As much as I'd like to bring it down to every Oilers playoff game, I can't justify.
Well, maybe if it's such a good luck charm, if they win tonight, maybe you might have to be someone might have to twist your arm. So when you were looking at designing it and painting it, how did you come up with the concept and everything?
Well, when you build a truck with Kenworth or Peterbilt, whoever you use, you can pick colors, and they send you the paint swatches, and you can kind of go off that. But until it actually shows up, you don't know how close it's actually going to be going off a piece of paper. But that's kind of how it went. They sent us their book of what we could pick, and we decided to go with the colors we went with. And yeah, everyone's really happy with how it turned out. I'm very, very impressed.
Yeah, we've posted a picture of the truck on all our social media, so if you want to check it out, or maybe you've seen it. And again, you say that the media and the local news outlets have done stories on it. What's been the reaction from Oilers fans or just people around town?
Yeah, the reaction's been great. Like, so many kids see a big truck, and we've been, Al's been making sure any kid that walks by that wants to go hop in and give the horn a honk, we've been letting the kids do it, and their reaction is awesome. You know, every kid wants to blow a semi-horn, so
yeah,
it's been pretty neat. Everyone gets pictures in front of it. Superfan Magoo, he's been hanging out. You know, we got to play La Bamba playing on the back of the truck. He's been getting the fans going, and it's been pretty neat to watch. So,
How does the tell our listeners about the audio again? You've got the speakers on the back and everything.
Yeah, we got speaker playing off the back, so you can hear it when we're driving around. And we've been just playing La Bamba, baby. That's obviously the song we want to hear 16 more times starting in playoffs. So it's been great to get the crowd going, and I'm excited to bring it down there. We'll be down there nice and early today. So.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you've seen the I guess the convoy of Oiler vehicles with the flags and everything. Can this big rig be part of that convoy, or just way too big to be wheeling around town and blowing the horn?
Well, it definitely can be, as long as they stick to the truck route, I guess. Unless it's a sanctioned convoy, then we have to get special permission. But we definitely had our truck route planned out and making sure we weren't going to get in trouble having the big billboard down there. So it's been great, though.
So tell our listeners and just describe the lettering that you've got on there, and how the decals and everything work.
Yeah, so we went with obviously a lot of Oiler theme. We actually went with an oil drop in the background of our LB logo for our company, LB Energy Services. Mm-hmm. And then we went with Play La Bamba. There's a barcode there. If they scan the barcode, Play La Bamba starts playing on their phone. We ended up putting a nice Superfan Magoo sticker on the side. we've kind of went with a bunch of different things that all suit the Oilers. So
you're not going to let Magoo drive this thing, are you?
No, he can go in the passenger seat. That'll be about it, I think. So
you know, I'd be scared. He might want to hop on the back on the beaver tail and just, you know, somehow tie himself to the platform there and maybe walk around banging that drum or something. Who knows?
Yeah, he probably would, but the safety department wouldn't approve of that. So we got to make sure we keep her above board.
Exactly. What's the agenda for today? What time are you going to be starting driving around down in Ice District and everywhere else?
Well, we hope to leave Whitecourt around 2:00 today. So, you know, give or take 2 hours to get down there. We usually get her parked, put the flag in, mm-hmm. start doing some laps. So we'll be down there early. It'll be probably around 4:00, but you know, the driver will need to have a bite to eat, so we might park the truck for a bit. And then around 6:00, we'll have it parked out in front of 104th underneath where the Gretzky statue is. And that's where people can come and get pictures and come and see Magoo. And it should be good. Should mm-hmm. be exciting playoffs.
Yeah, Lane Brown with us, who put together the Oilers truck, and it's just when you look at it, and people have the chance to see it down there, and they've seen pictures, obviously, you're going to really, really be very impressed with it. And I'll tell you what, Lane, if the Oilers win tonight, and that truck's not there on Wednesday, you're going to hear something, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm probably am. So I'm definitely hoping for the big win, and who knows, maybe it'll be back on Wednesday.
All right. Hey, Lane, thanks so much for this. Really appreciate it. And just a wonderful idea that your company, and what is it again, LD?
LB Energy Services. LB,
yeah. Yeah, just a wonderful, just a wonderful thing that you're doing here. So fans can have a look at that truck down in Ice District tonight. Really appreciate it. And I know you're a big Oilers fan, obviously. So hopefully this can give them a little luck moving down into the playoffs here.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Lane Brown. And if you see the picture of the truck on our social platforms, you'll go, man, this is a cool, cool rig. I mean, and they've got it. I mean, it's just sharp. It's blue. It's orange. It's got the decals on left and right, and it's got the speakers on the back. Play La Bamba, baby. And Magoo, Superfan Magoo's pretty fired up to be involved with it as well. Craig says, hey, you guys should play the Oilers song by Corb Lund. He's an Albertan. He's an Oilers fan, and it is an excellent song. That comes from Craig. Well, we've played that song many times before. We had Corb Lund on air. Mm-hmm. When did we have him on? About 2.5 months ago? 3 months?
More than that, I think.
Is it more?
I think that might have been back into the 2023 portion of the calendar.
Yeah,
I know he was on with Gregor more recently when mm-hmm. he was in town for some shows, if I'm not mistaken. But he was on with us actually going back a seemingly longer time than the memory might recall. So, yeah, we played that song, and I'm sure it will find the airwaves a few more times here over the next, I keep reiterating, hopefully several weeks, couple mm-hmm. months maybe.
Well, Playbook Vic just texted in, where in Whitecourt is this truck? Well, I drive through there every day. Would love to see it. Take a picture. Playbook Vic, head down to the Ice District area. Lane Brown just said before the game, it'll be parked outside on 104th, and it'll be right by the Gretzky statue, so you can zip in there, get a picture. And it is really a cool rig when you look at the picture. It's a neat, and I don't know, Duke, when you look at your playoff experience here as a fan, just being in Edmonton, as you said, you're a Ducks fan and you have a vested interest in the Ducks. But in Edmonton, it's hard not to get swept away with what's going on around town for the playoff run.
Oh, without a doubt.
So last year at this time, what were you doing?
Last year at this time, so I would have been wrapping up my final semester of in-class study at Nate in the radio and TV program. And yeah, like we had, there's a lot of buzz. Of course, a lot of my peers in the program were Oilers fans. And you kind of just see it around to everything from the car flags getting thrown out on the windows once, you know, the weather's a little bit nicer, mm-hmm. like it's supposed to be today and into a couple more days this week as opposed to yesterday, for example. Yeah. But it's a buzz around the city, and it kind of sweeps everybody up, even people that aren't aren't hockey fans or aren't sports fan, you can't help, but it's kind of, you know, a cliche term, like the talk around the water cooler and in office buildings and stuff is, hey, did you catch it last night? And, you know, that joke is in perpetuity said about everything from the Super Bowl to whatever. But in a city like Edmonton, where the Oilers are without a doubt uncontested number one point of focus on the sporting scene, no offense to all the other great clubs and teams that call the city home. Yeah. It's an Oilers city.
Yep.
And it'll, like I keep saying, I know I'm not an Oilers fan, but that doesn't mean I'm not rooting for them, because it makes this this area a lot more fun. People are enjoying it. It's great for the downtown nightlife and all the restaurants and bars on White Ave, downtown, elsewhere.
Friday night's going to be a
going,
zoo.
Going out to watch the game somewhere with a group of friends and stuff, it's an awesome experience, and I can't encourage people enough to do the same. I unfortunately probably won't get the chance to go out very much because of our early starts. But yeah, like for a Friday night game, there's a good chance you'll find me at a local institution taking in the game with a friend or two.
Text in from Mont. I'd like to thank Ken Holland for ensuring no game was scheduled on my daughter's wedding day this Saturday. It likely saved my marriage.
Huge.
And that's a one shot, Mont, quite likely. And congrats to Mont and I believe Kira's wedding. I would say the fourth greatest goaltender in Bomber history. Monty, no question about it. Steve asks, why is Fanti being called up as an emergency? Well, okay, during the regular season, you have the e-bug in the press box. That e-bug could be any goaltender from, you know, someone from Nate, someone from McEwen. It varies. It depends on the day. It depends on, you know, who's available. But at this stage of the season, you want to have someone that is maybe has a little more experience. I mean, the chances of this guy getting into a game or dressing are very remote, but it's there for an emergency. It's an e-bug. It's if Stu Skinner were to get hurt and Cal Pickard has to go in, now you have a guy within your organization that comes down from the press box, gets into the room, dresses. It also allows Fanti to be there in practices where he will be skating with the Black Aces and have that opportunity, as we said earlier, to face, oh, I don't know, 1,000 or 2,000 shots during practice. So that will be an interesting situation. Looks like Connor McDavid, Darnell Nurse will be speaking with the media this morning, and that's probably happening just as we speak right about now. Oilers just finishing up probably the morning skate, and then the Kings will take to the ice at Rogers ahead of tonight's game number one in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Oilers and Kings. Kyle from Mill Woods texts in, the Oilers have become the Kings Bruins. Insert Leaf joke here. I still think that's still one of the funniest texts that we saw, or Twix earlier on the weekend from that pub in Vancouver that said, come enjoy all four Leaf playoff games right here. Man, Leaf fans were really getting it on Saturday night. Man, we had a jam-packed show. And as mentioned, tomorrow we've just confirmed that Charlie Huddy will guest with us in the 10 o'clock hour. Tomorrow, Grant Fuhr will be with us at 9 o'clock, and he'll be there to help dissect game number one. It'll be a late game for a lot of people. It's going to be a weird work week for many people this week, and then even next Monday. Next Monday's game four, Sunday night. Monday morning's going to be a tough one for a lot of people around town. Duke, any closing comments? Are you looking forward to to watch the Leafs Bruins, see if the Leafs can rebound here?
All four games tonight. Finally, it seems like this is they were late to this party, and by they I mean the NHL. In the last couple of years, they've kind of got it figured out with the staggered starts across the slate. 5 o'clock Leafs Bruins, 5:30 Hurricanes Islanders, 7:30 Stars and Vegas, and then of course the Oilers and Kings getting going. Well, they say 8 o'clock, but we know very well it'll be more like 8:15, 8:20. So a long and busy afternoon sitting on the couch watching my TV with all four games. I'm pumped for. I just wanted to get what's your game one prediction, Kevin Karius?
Well, the Oilers, what's it been, four years of losing game
four
one?
Straight playoff appearances with a
game one loss at home. I just you know, listen, I want the Oilers to do well. I really do. there's so many people in this organization that deserve a long playoff run. I just hope they aren't taking the Kings too lightly.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying it for 2 weeks. I still truly believe that I would have rather played Vegas in the opening round. I think that there's something about this Kings team that makes me wary of them. If they get the goaltending, I mean, you can say that about every team. You get the goaltending, you're going to have success. But there is something about this Kings team, the way they're set up. And again, I go back with Jim Hiller back to 1986, 87, 88 in that area. And I've known him a long time. And I know that he will not coach this team in the playoffs like you think everyone else thinks he will. So I'll just leave it at that. Thanks to all our guests. Alan Mitchell, Scott Burnside, Ben Scribbins, Daryl Evans, Lorianne Munzer, and Lane Downtown Brown. And of course, our co-host every Monday, Mark Spector from Rogers Sportsnet, on the mark for Booster Juice. Tomorrow, again, Grant Fuhr, 9 to 11. Charlie Huddy at 10 o'clock. We'll fill in the rest of our show. What, you got something else?
Well, we got a pretty exciting announcement on the show tomorrow as well, with a special guest in studio to help us make it as well. So,
big time announcement.
Can't tease it much more than that, but it is huge for the entire... That's, I think, what we're aiming for. Okay. We'll get confirmation on that. It's huge for this...
For Sports 1440.
Our collective, for this whole station, and I think for the entire community of Edmonton to a greater extent, too.
To think where Sports 1440 came from September 5th to where we are here less than 8 months, it's remarkable. Great job by everyone. So a big announcement coming your way regarding sports coverage in our city tomorrow. Top of the hour, it is Fantasy Frenzy with the former Ross Shepteebert,
Connor Halley,
and the Duke of Delburn, Brandon Douglas, at 12 o'clock. The Lowdown with Alan Mitchell till 2, where Jason Greger drives us home with the Jason Greger Show till 6 o'clock. Before all that, time now for a Sports 1440 update brought to you by Legacy Heating, where their rates never change. No overtime charges on your furnace or your air conditioner. That's how you build a legacy at legacyheating.ca. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for all your texts. Good luck to the Oilers tonight. Game one against the Kings. We'll have a full wrap tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning. Here is the Duke with a Sports 1440 update.